This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Heat. That's a nasty, nasty four-letter word to us and to our pets. But help is here, ready to unleash some great tips to protect our pets from the scorching heat and natural disasters, is our country's top dog in veterinary medicine. Please welcome to the show the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association, Dr. Sandra Fay. Welcome, welcome, Dr. Sandra.
Hello, thanks for having me.
You could be the cool cat, too. You could be the top dog,
yes,
and the cool
absolutely
cat. We got to be, I don't know about ducks and horses, but we'll get into all that. But
sounds good.
She is here, the good doctor is here to help us help our pets. And we're going to find out how after we take this quick break. And you all know the drill. We got to sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a pause. Four furry ones, actually. Sit and stay. O-Behave will be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. O-Behave is back with more tail-wagging ways to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Now back to your fetching host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome back to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I am so jazzed because with us is the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. Her name is Dr. Sandra Fay. She's like, okay, that's cool, but I really like to help pets. I want to help the people. And what I also like, and we're going to dive into, is that you are all about bringing in the next generation of veterinarians and vet techs. So we'll get into all that. But first of all, officially welcome. You are
Thank
now
you.
On the longest running pet podcast on the planet. I mean, curb your excitement. Settle down. You're okay?
It's amazing. It's amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you. You know, I'm in Dallas. My producer, Mark Winter, is in Florida. You are in the Chicago area right now, right?
I am. Yeah, that's
so
correct.
Mother Nature is not nice. We're just going to say that. And I really need people to understand how serious too much heat is to a dog or a cat, heat stroke. And you've got those initials after your name, DVM. So just hit it off. I mean, can you just give people a few warning signs that that dog on a walk or the cat in the window facing east or west is getting a little too hot and needs our help?
Yeah, it's so critical. This is a really important topic. And I think the key is to know if it's hot outside for you, it's even hotter for your pet. And most of our pets are so loyal, right? They'll follow us anywhere. So it's really important to read the signs because they may not tell us. Cats are easy. If you see a cat panting or open mouth breathing, that's an emergency.
Okay.
So maybe I shouldn't say they're easy, but the sign is easy. You know, when was the last time you saw a cat pant? You see dogs panting all the time, but when
right.
a cat's panting, it's an emergency.
Let's go to cats for a minute. Talk about indoor cats, because people think, well, I got the AC on or whatever, but cats are sun worshipers. What about where should you place that little cat tree or the cat perch? Why no on east-west windows?
Right. I mean, because it still can get hot and you want to make sure they're in an area that is not necessarily directly to the sun.
Okay.
Make sure they have water because they can overheat inside and it can be really, really scary. You just want to make sure that they have access to shade at any time. We don't think of cats that often,
right?
We think more of dogs, but it's critical.
Well, let's talk about our bodies versus a cat and dog body, because they don't sweat like we do. You know, they don't have skin pores all over their bodies, right? How do they keep from getting too hot? What's the paws and the panting purposes?
Yep. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's how they sweat. They pant, they release the heat, they release the air out, and paws, they will kind of sweat in their paws. So if you see excessive panting, if you see, you know, if you even see some moisture on their paws, bring them inside or get them into the shade. Also, knowing that if they are overheating, that's a good spot to really start cooling them off as their paws. So get their paws cool, get them damp. You never want to cool them off too quickly, because that actually can constrict the blood vessels and make things more challenging to cool them off. But if we think of the reverse, right? So if they're panting, showing the heat from their paws, that's a good place to cool them off.
Well, I teach pet first aid. I'm a master instructor, and we're always working with ER and critical care veterinarians. And now we got the AVMA president here in the house. One thing we teach them is a slogan I created. It's called ice, ice, not nice, baby. So why is it dangerous to take a hot dog and give them a pack of ice on their body or give them ice cubes? Why should they just have cool water?
Yeah, because cooling them too quickly can cause their blood vessels to constrict, and that makes it even harder for them to cool down. So you don't want to cool them too quickly. You want to apply cool, but not cold water or wet towels to their bodies and paws and fan them just to help encourage the evaporation. And that also helps with the cooling process.
Have you heard about the new study that the University of Pennsylvania, a veterinarian, I just came with the AKC's Kennel Health Foundation. She talked about the four different ways that you can cool down a pet. And one of them was a voluntary head dunk in 70-degree water. Have you heard about that?
I have. I wouldn't advise it.
That's why I'm asking the press.
Yeah, I wouldn't advise that. I think that can be really scary to a dog or cat. And I would worry that you would get bit or scratched. So I think, you know, do what you can. But if you're worried, bring it to the vet. They'll put an IV catheter in. They'll cool them down the right way.
And what color are gums when they're not healthy and it's getting too hot out? What should we do, flipping the lip?
So it could be bright, bright, bright pink, or in an extreme, pale. So I think the good thing there is just periodically flip your dog or cat's lip and get an idea of what's normal for them. And then if it's either of the, you know, super, super bright, super red or pale, definitely you need to bring them into your veterinarian.
Now, you mentioned before we went on the air, you've got a little collection of pets. Tell us about, you've got a Bernese Mountain Dog mix and a Great Pyrenees.
Yep.
And a Tuxedo Cat.
Yes.
A horse, of course.
Yep.
Rabbit.
Yep.
Ducks.
Yep. Yep.
So for the dogs and the cat, you want to shout out their names because they are on the longest running pet podcast on the planet. And I know they're tuning in.
So I have Toby, and he's the Berner.
Okay.
And short for Toblerone Chocolate, because he's a Swiss dog.
Nice.
And then Riggy is the Great Pyrenees, and he's our bottle fed baby. So he was from a rescue. Mom ran out of milk, so we bottle fed him. He's trouble. And then Rafi is short for Rafael Nadal, because we're a big tennis family.
Okay. All right. So for your dogs, they got some hair on them. I mean, what do you do personally to keep them cool? Because they do need to walk. They need the exercise to sniff and check.
Right. So I walk them early in the morning or late at night.
Okay.
If it seems too hot to walk them, we play inside. There's lots of different things you can do inside. You can do hide and seek. You can make a little obstacle courses. So there's plenty of things that you can do inside to get their energy out. If I'm walking outside, I really try and avoid those hot paved areas, because we worry about their paws. They can blister, they can burn, and it's super painful.
Now, I like to tell people how to be a Mutt-giver. So, you know, if you don't have a vet nearby or your first aid kit, people have poop bags, right? So what do you think about some ways to use a poop bag as a makeshift water bowl? I mean, not with the poop in it. It's not floating icicles.
Absolutely. I mean, always keep water with you and something to put it in for them to drink out of. And some will drink right out of the bottle if it's a big enough bottle or if you have enough to pour where you're not worried about wasting. But yeah, you could take a plastic bag and kind of fold the ends over and or hold it with, you know, if it's got handles like a shopping bag, hold it and fill it with water and have them drink out of it. Absolutely. Anything to get that water in them.
Definitely.
Cats are a little harder to get to drink, right? Cats are harder with everything.
Than water. At least the body's getting cooled down, the air conditioning, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Another thing I wanted to mention, you asked how I keep my dogs cool. People often think that shaving these hairy dogs helps. Yeah, and it doesn't. You know, they have a double coat for a reason. It helps in the summer and it helps in the winter. So shaving actually gets rid of some of the normal protective mechanisms that the body has in clay that we want them to have. So do not shave them. You can brush them, keep them groomed, keep that undercoat, you know, just keep as much of the loose hair out, but do not shave them.
All right. Hey, Pet Pals, we're speaking with Dr. Sandra Fay. She is the president of the American Veterinary Medical Association. And I know people are curious as a cat to find out. I was trying to do a little homework on you, and you grew up in a family that moved around a lot. Were you in the Protection Witness Program or something? But what was going on that your parents are from Switzerland, and then you came here, and you just kept seeing all of America?
It sure felt like it. So yeah, my parents got married in Switzerland, came here after they got married. And I think until I was about seventh grade, the longest we stayed in one area was 3 years. So
oh,
New Hampshire, Maine, Iowa, Illinois, Ohio, then Illinois, and Illinois is where we stayed. So I think they just wanted to see the country, and I don't know. So not military, not witness protection, just wanted to see different things. So, and I always say that's the main reason I became a veterinarian, because we always had a dog and a cat, and they were my buddies growing up. That human-animal bond is a real thing.
Who were your childhood pets? Because they were your one constant when you were on the go, literally.
Exactly. We had a black cat named Mookie.
M-O-O-K-I-E.
Yeah. And then we always had German Shepherds, but the one, you know, that I was with the longest was Mikey.
Mikey and Mookie. That sounds like a TV show. So some people instantly know when they're younger what they're going to do when they grow up. Some people go through a lot. I'm betting you're the former than the latter. What's the deal with you and the attraction to veterinary medicine?
Yeah, absolutely. Always wanted to be a veterinarian. But interestingly enough, I just gave a presentation to a bunch of first year veterinary students. And I said, I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up, because there's so many different things you can do as a veterinarian. I first started thinking research, then I thought maybe exotics, and then private practice. And, you know, obviously all my work with AVMA kind of morphed into that. So there's so many different avenues that we can take with this profession, and we'll see. We'll see where I end up.
All right. Hey, well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Dr. Fay, the president of the AVMA, is going to help us learn a little bit about disaster prep, because Lord knows we've had some nasty wallops by Mother Nature all over this country. So everybody sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations, too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to the O Behave Show with Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio.
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to O Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the O Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I've got a fellow Midwesterner in the house. I grew up in Crown Point, Indiana, near Chicago. I don't know anything about Indiana except the Fever, which is a great basketball team, but got Chicago shows, WGN, everything. So we have that in common. And my parents also graduated from the University of Illinois.
Did not know that. That's awesome.
I went to Purdue.
Oh, boy. So I can't say ILI. I'll have to say what? Boiler Up?
Boiler up. All right. Here in Texas, in this Kerrville, you know what happened with Camp Mystic with the floods on the Guadalupe River. But then you've got fires in California. Our world is up on its end. We need people like you to help us have a game plan. And so what an overview. I mean, I don't think there's any place in the country that's got this perfect, safe weather anymore. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, and I was just going to say that this is for everybody. So don't think just because you're not in Texas, California, North Carolina, any of these places, and our hearts go out to all of those people. It's horrible. It's really, really tragic. But don't think because you're not there that this doesn't apply to you, because it could be a house fire, God forbid, or it could be a tornado. Like you said, there's no area that is safe. We all have to be prepared. And I think that's the biggest thing. Plan ahead. Be prepared.
So be prepared. Give us some specifics. I live in Dallas with two cats and three dogs and with my spouse. And I think I'm prepared, but what do we need to do? We got a small, medium, a large dog. We got two indoor cats. Uh-oh, Mother Nature's hitting us. We should already have a plan, right?
Exactly. So we don't know what kind of disaster is going to hit. So we want to make sure that your home, your yard, your property, everything is super secure in case we've got that tornado or hurricane or something that could loosen up things. So we want to make sure your area is super secure. You want to make sure that your pet has a microchip. This is key because when they're afraid, they run and they don't always run towards you. And so you really want to make sure they're chipped and will be identifiable. You know, collars are great. I would have a collar because it does help, but you can't count on that because it could fall off. You'll also want to make sure that you have an evacuation kit ready.
Okay.
So always make sure you have, about up to a week's worth of food, a couple weeks worth of medicine if they're on regular medicine.
And should this kit, what's a good kit container you would think we could just grab when we take the dog or cats out?
Yeah. A bag, a duffel, something. A lot of the carriers, because you want to have a good carrier, especially if you have a cat or a rabbit or a small dog, have some container, storage space in them, but it's probably not enough. So make sure you have food, water, medicine, a bowl, right? We talked about the plastic bag. That works if it has to.
Or a baseball cap.
Yeah, exactly. And then you're the expert on the first aid, but first aid kit, never a bad idea to have some antibiotic ointment, some bandage material, some scissors, some gloves, some alcohol to cleanse, a washcloth, a towel, things like that. If it's a cat, litter pan, and then have a copy of the identification papers, proof of ownership, if you can, medical records, medication instructions, all within that. And then also have an extra photo of your pet so that if you do get separated, you can share that with people, share it on social media, put waterproof signs up in places if they should get lost. So think of what you use on a daily basis. Make sure you have that. And think of what will help if there's an injury. So like we said, some bandage material, things like that.
Well, you live in the Midwest and you can get tornadoes, you can get snowstorms, you can get hot, you can get rain. We do drills. We have a walk-in closet off our master bedroom and we take the whole, we call them the furry Brady Bunch. We take the gang into the walk-in closet and the kitties are in the carriers, the dogs are on their leashes and we try to time it. We've got it now to less than 4 minutes to get everybody.
That's amazing.
But there's also water in there. There's food and there is a bottle of wine there, but that's not for the pets. And there's a battery operated radio.
Okay.
So what do you think?
Fantastic. I think that's fantastic. If you're in an area, well, you should also have an evacuation plan to leave, right?
Yes.
Make sure you know that they accept pets. So
good point.
To a hotel, make sure that the pets can come with you. Never leave them behind. Obviously, this becomes much more difficult with large animals, with horses, cows, whatnot.
It's just much more challenging. You have a horse, of course. What's your plan?
Yeah. Oh, so
what's your horse's name?
His name is Ace.
Oh, that's cool.
His name is, he's a good boy. He's a big puppy dog. He probably would follow me. So knowing that I have a trailer that I could evacuate him, knowing a lot of people in the area and where else they could house him really is helpful. So if you have livestock, it's probably really challenging to have enough to, you know, trailers to escort them out. So make connections in your community. You know, if it's a flood and you need to evacuate them from your area, get to know your neighbors so you can have a safe spot for them to put. Make sure you have other options and try and think of as many scenarios as possible. I know that can be really challenging. The livestock, the large animal, it's a little tougher.
One thing I know that I keep on me, something on a keychain that says that if something happens to me, I'm in the hospital or 6 feet under or whatever, that the first responders know that there are now 3 dogs and 2 cats at my home. Flip it over and there is a name of my sister and another backup number. How important do you think it is to have some sort of thing that alerts the first responders that if you got hurt in a car accident or something, no one knows that these dogs are, they're doing Kegels right now because they really got to go to the bathroom or they're hungry. Is there anything you would recommend that would help people that they don't think about that? Going to the grocery store, going to the movies, and then something happens. What would you suggest?
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic idea, having that on you. And then also having a sign in your house so that if the first responders come, they will know what to look for, who to look for, and not just the humans in the house. Absolutely.
Yeah, because many of those folks, I train them to be instructors in first aid, a lot of first responders, they all got pets.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's so important. They're such a huge part of our, they are our family, right? And so we need to make sure we can keep them as safe as possible.
Well, for the last segment, I want to let people know a little bit about your view as being the president of the AVMA and what your platform is. And I know that I want to make sure you are the chief veterinary officer for National Veterinary Associates. I don't know what that means, but I do know it. You're helping the next generation. Can you talk a little bit about why did you want to be president of the AVMA and what's your mission? I know it's a 1-year term.
Yeah. So, wow. The why is always the hardest question. It's something I've always done. As a student, I was president of the National Student AVMA. And so representing the US and Canada. And that really instilled in me the desire to be as involved as possible. There are so many things on a daily basis in our legislature, national, state, that affect our animals, affect our food supply. And we need to speak up because a lot of things, you know, the intent is good, but the understanding may not be there. So it's our job to really educate people on why it's important. And so that's a huge reason. And the profession has given me so much. This, with the people I've met, the animals that I've met, I can't imagine not having such, I mean, it's just amazing. And I want to give back. And a lot of that's helping the younger generation. So I started with the student AVMA. I still help with the student AVMA. They're wonderful. It's so exciting and inspiring to see the next generation of veterinarians. That's huge.
Yeah. You started something called a pilot mentorship program.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's got a little more hands-on than just you sitting there telling, here's what you do, young whippersnappers. So talk about that, because it sounds like it's very practical.
Yeah. So that's in my work hat, not AVMA.
Okay.
But AVMA has a mentorship program.
You have too many
too,
collars. Yes. You wear too many collars in the pet world.
But yeah, so everybody should have more than one mentor. I think it's essential. And your mentors change based on your stage in life and what you're going through. And so every new veterinarian should have a mentor in the hospital. But the program we created are actual mentors from outside the hospital coming in and helping with surgery, with dentistry, maybe it's exam room skills, and just continuing to develop their knowledge. And it's just another person for them to connect to and someone whose sole job is mentoring. So when you're in the clinic and your boss is your mentor, your boss has 20 other things, well, probably more than 20 things to do. And therefore, it can be hard for them to give you the time that you really want. So this independent person, it's all through my job and through NVA, the corporation that I work for. They come in and they just are able to spend that one-on-one quality time and help give them the skills that they need. And it's technically only a 1-year program, but for many, I just had a call on Saturday from my mentor from 21. So 4 years ago, or mentee.
Mentee, yeah.
Yeah. But mentorship is huge with AVMA as well. I am honored this year to give a President's Award to three individuals, and they're all my mentors, some from my vet school days and some more recent. And
nice.
It's wonderful.
It's called Building a Legacy and Helping Pets, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we can't let you go without asking two silly questions.
Uh-oh.
You're on
Uh-oh.
The Obehave show. Okay. So you survived so far. If you could come back as a cat.
Okay. Okay.
What quality would you just embrace that you don't are not able to do because you're just a two-legged human now, but you come back as a cool indoor cat? What is something that you would like to have a trait?
So I immediately thought of one. I don't know if I'd necessarily want that if I were human.
Okay. No, this is you as a cat. What quality, I guess, whatever. Okay.
To be empowered. Well, I guess I want this as a human, to be empowered. My cat is often the boss of the 200-pound beasts that we have.
And is this Raphael?
Yes.
Okay.
It started when he was a kitten. He would push them away from their food bowls and eat their food, and they would take it. So now every once in a while, they do fight back, and it's a fight. It's not a fight. They're chasing each other, but they all sleep together, and they're great. But to be empowered.
They're siblings.
Yeah. Your size doesn't matter. You know, your strength is internal. So that's what I would want to make sure I had.
And we're going to ask you, if you could be a dog breed, what would it be and why? This is fun. Come on. You don't want to just be all serious all the time.
I know. It's hard.
I mean, I would be a golden retriever because I'm kind of goofy, but you know.
I'm going to say Burner.
Woo, Bernie's mountain dog. Okay. We had one.
Yeah, at least the one I have. He's so happy all the time. He just wants to please you. He just loves life. Although I will say my travels have stressed him out. So maybe that's not the best answer. And he has to be my shadow. I always say you've got to be exhausting because I'm exhausted. I take two steps. He takes two steps. But he loves you. He's happy when I'm home. His life is, I think, it seems complete. I hope it's complete. And he's just happy all the time.
All right. So apologies to the Pekingese and the cattle dogs out there. The AVMA president wants to be a Bernese mountain dog mix. Right?
Oh, too funny. Yes.
Hey, I really do appreciate you being on our show. How do people find out more about you and the AVMA?
Yeah, great question. We have so many resources on everything that we've talked about today, the disaster preparedness, your first aid kit to heat on avma.org. So please check it out.
All right. We've been speaking with Dr. Sandra Fay, the president of the AVMA and a cool pet mom, too, from the Midwest. At this time, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I got some big news, everybody. Go to my YouTube channel, Arden Moore. You got some great videos there. And we just launched, we always teach in-person, interactive Zoom, pet first aid. We now have a self-paced course, all veterinary approved. Featuring pet safety dog Kona and pet safety cat Casey. Yes, I teach classes with a real dog
awesome.
And cat. And check them out at Pet First Aid for You. Shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the surgeon of sound, and he is the executive producer of all the shows on Pet Life Radio's network. Check us out. We are the longest running pet podcast. We are the oldest pet radio network. A lot of great hosts. And until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Obehave!
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Obehave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Obehave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.